You're listening to the Potential Cast. This is an episode for the Harvest. After escaping from Luke, Buffy goes in search of Jesse with a little help from Giles and Willow, her mystery friend Angel, and from Xander, who braves the dank, dark sewers with her. The Master plots the Harvest, a ritual designed to imbue him with strength enough to open the Hellmouth, but Buffy defeats his minions in a showdown at the Bronze.
Yay, Buffy!
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
I'm Gabby.
And I'm Illyrio.
And together we are Gax. Yes,
thanks to Kelly Jo.
Thanks, Kelly.
We could be Skag.
When she was in the Bronze, was she wearing like a velour dress? When she beat the vampire this time? Oh, no, never mind.
I don't think so.
No.
That wasn't the blue. That wasn't like the white blouse underneath and the blue long sleeve.
She had
sleeve.
A leather jacket with a white blouse for the final
That's
fight
right,
scene in this
because
episode.
Yeah. Because she left.
I just finished watching it like 45 minutes ago. Yeah, pretty fresh mother, in my memory.
My mother wouldn't let her go back to the Bronze, and she put on the leather jacket, and she snuck out of the house.
I want one of those trunks with a false bottom.
Yes, Dexter has one.
Really?
Dexter and Buffy Summers have that same cool chest with the false bottom with all the killing stuff. That's awesome.
But I think that chest is a visual of how Buffy is. On top, she has all the little girly things and the normal girl things, but you open it up and there's the Slayer stuff.
Steph, that's so deep.
I know.
It just made me realize something. She's not your, like, I don't think of her as a superhero with like a stereotypical secret identity, but I guess she is because like she doesn't want everybody to know she's a vampire slayer,
right?
And you know, in these first two episodes, we're kind of like surrounded by people that know who she is, but I imagine there's a whole contingent of people that probably shouldn't have any clue what she is and who she is and what she's doing.
Right, like her mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Willow and Xander... Sorry,
go ahead.
Oh, no. And Willow and Xander, they freak out about it and seem to have a hard time letting it digest initially, but mm-hmm. then they, you know, get right in there and they try to help.
Yeah, they let, like, 3 hours pass by before they jump right in. Yeah.
I have to tell you, like, when Xander kind of insists that he should help and Buffy, you know, like, turns him down and he kind of gets all macho and like, oh, I guess I'm not much of a man. I guess I can't do this. I'm like, dude, she's the new girl in school. You're going to get yourself killed. Go do something else.
Yeah, because that seems to be an ongoing thing. He feels like he has to rescue her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't. He can't rescue her. And he just seems to have an insecurity about not being able to help her.
Hmm. Yeah. But like you were saying last podcast, like, this show is about girl power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just perfect timing. It was all part of the whole girl power movement, so.
Yeah, she can clearly take care of herself.
It's strange. Like, maybe if I watched the show when it first came out, it would have been like, oh my god, this is so cool. But now it's just, oh yeah, she's just kick-ass girl. That's all. You know?
I see what you're saying. Because of the time, yeah. It doesn't seem to stand out for you because this isn't something new. This is something we're used to.
Mm-hmm. Whereas at the time, it was probably, like, groundbreaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But another thing about Xander... Xander was very upset that his friend was killed by vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. how he yeah. goes, I'm going to go on record and say vampires are not good. This, and I had totally forgot about this, watching the rest of the series. This will last throughout the show, this this... I mean, I know everybody doesn't... Everybody thinks vampires are bad, but he especially does not like vampires. And I know that makes no sense, but just keep this in mind throughout the show, that he especially has this hate, detestment for vampires.
Okay, it's a bit of foreshadowing on Steph's part.
Yeah.
So he's got like a personal vendetta against vampires?
Almost, yeah. Because he was so upset about losing his friend, Jesse.
The guy from 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, which...
and 24.
Yes. So the internet shows up in this episode. Yes. That really took me back.
Was it dial-up?
It was probably still dial-up or coaxial.
Oh, gosh.
You know, if it was in the library, but boy, well, oh, boy.
I know that I heard Josh say this on a commentary, that they decided that they are not going to be a show that is technically correct. He said, like, the X-Files, computers and mechanical things was 100%, you know, authentic. He said they made a conscious decision that that was not something they were going to worry about. Mm-hmm. Because computers will come back up pretty soon.
But think about how different the show would be if it was on now. Like, because everybody's got a cell phone. Everyone's connected.
Like, yeah.
There was a time where Buffy was, I guess, going down into the mausoleum and they couldn't contact her. And I'm like, just call her on her cell phone. It's like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
They can't. It's like, how are they going to let Buffy know she's in trouble?
Yeah, I know in season two, there was the situation. Somebody was about to die. And I thought, if only they had cell phones, they could just call each other.
Well, this is really lazy writing. Like, they couldn't even think of using cell phones to get out of this situation.
I mean, even Cordelia had that big ginormous one in episode one. I mean, else has a big ginormous bag phone.
But that's because Cordelia wants to get the thing that costs the most.
Oh, that's right.
Not because it's the most expensive, but because it costs more.
That's what's important, guys.
Yes.
Oh, I hate Cordelia.
Well, I think Joss Whedon wants you to hate her.
Okay, well, he did his job right, because I can't stand that woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of times, you're not supposed to like Buffy. And sometimes
that's good,
because
I don't. That's funny, because it's so strange, because, like, Cordelia, I can see... Oh, this is embarrassing. I see sort of myself in Cordelia. Not that I was stuck up or anything, but...
Uh-huh.
Shut up. But I had, like, this... She was, like, always, like, a know-it-all. And I think I'm more of a know-it-all than I was, like, a popular, like, bitch. But she...
That's funny, because I was more the popular bitch.
No. But she looks exactly like one of my best friends. And so I laugh hysterically when she does things, because it reminds me of my friend Sasha. Who's listening, by the way. Hi, Sasha.
Hey, Sasha. There was a really cool line in this episode.
Which one was it?
Well, Buffy and Xander are in the sewer system, and they're walking through the dark, dank tunnels, and Buffy says, they're close. And Xander says, how can you tell? And Buffy says, no more rats. I really like that line for some reason. It was totally lame, but it was perfect. Because, you know, the rats and the vampires? Uh-uh.
But I like they had to escape, like, up into, like, the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the ceiling?
Yeah.
Or wait,
yeah.
I guess it'd be, like, the ground floor. And it just looks so fake. It looked like a piece of foam that they were moving. Mm-hmm. Anyway, absolutely. Which is probably what it was. But
yeah.
That aside, it was a good episode.
So speaking of foam, whenever Buffy breaks a door because she's so super strong and you can tell it's foam, I start laughing. And I know I need to stop doing that because it's, you know, it's special effects in this TV show, but it kills me.
I love the part where she literally jumps over the fence.
Yeah, she gets caught by Principal Bob. Yeah. She's about to leave school grounds. You know, hence the Buffy kicking ass, taking names, getting caught by the principal. Uh-huh. And, you know, he leaves for a second, and then she just, whoop, backflips. Yeah,
what is better is his last words are, keep your feet on the ground.
It was like, and I remember watching that going, they're not going to do that. They're not going to zoom in on her feet, and she's going to jump over the fence. Yes, she did.
Of course they are.
But
there's one good thing about the writing that I really love. I love it when, at the end of one scene, the last sentence ties into the first line of the next scene.
Yeah. Like, Xander will say something funny, and then you'll see Buffy doing something funny. That what he just said. I know what you mean. I didn't explain it right.
I can't give you an example. I can't think of what it is, but the show does that a lot, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Jesse being a vampire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He talks about, you know, Xander like, oh man, Jesse, I'm so sorry this has happened to you. And he was like, no man, I feel connected to the earth. I feel the worms.
I feel strong. I can hear the worms in the ground. And what did Xander reply? Well, I guess there's a plus.
But Giles tells Xander, you know, remember that's not your friend. Mm-hmm. That's the demon that took over his body. And that'll come up later.
Was anyone else cringing horribly when Buffy... I don't even have to qualify that. When Buffy and Angel were having their banter back and forth in front of the locked gate.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Eyes rolled so far back.
It was like, it was edited too slow or something. Like, if it was done a little bit more quickly... And there wasn't so many uncomfortable pauses between them. I think it may have gone off a little bit better.
I think every time Buffy talks to like a guy, sees she's interested or she's trying to flirt, it's just really awkward. And I start laughing because I feel so embarrassed for her. Mm. You know, you're watching, you're like, oh my god, stop talking, just turn around, walk away.
Just break the door down and go kill some vampires.
I totally know what you're talking about. Because, I was like, oh, God, just next scene, please.
The interaction is so awkward at this point that I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, are they supposed to be sort of interested in each other or not? I'm like, I don't get it. Like, what's going on? I'm like, am I supposed to trust him? Am I supposed to like him?
And the gap in between his teeth makes him look 12 years old. Like, I'm looking at this guy, and I know he's supposed to be tall, dark, and mysterious, but there's this gap between his two front teeth, and I'm like, dude, you're like 13 years old wearing your big brother's jacket, and you just put your hair in that style to impress someone at the summer dance, and I can't take you seriously right now.
Is Angel supposed to be, like, 18, like, or 16 like they are, or is he supposed to be 20?
30.
Yeah.
I think he's supposed to be like 20.
Mm. Okay.
But really, he's like 150.
Uh-huh. Spoiler alert.
What?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, Gabby. Gabby, we actually didn't really tell you. The whole purpose of you being on this show is to see how badly we could spoil someone as they were watching the series.
On a 17-year-old show. Yeah.
Good point.
But see, you're supposed to get the idea that he's been watching out for her. Hmm. This isn't the first time he's seen her.
Because I'm not trusting him. I'm like, is he a good guy? Is he back? Is he helping her out? Is he setting her up? Because, you know, all that brouhaha goes on underground. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did he set her up?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to think that. You're supposed to be.
Well, they got me.
I think they even kind of gave it away that he was a vampire. Because I think Buffy was explaining about what the vampires wear. And she's like looking at this one guy, and he had like this collar sticking out of his leather jacket.
That was a clue. Yeah.
Yeah. Cut to Angel with his collar outside of his jacket.
Don't worry, Gabby. It's not a very long-term spoiler, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's so hard too because it's so old, and you don't. I mean, you know, wearing stuff from the '70s is cool. or 80s or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, and this is like, what, 1997, and mm-hmm. apparently girls liked wearing denim button-down colored shirts and velour dresses.
And how high are Buffy's pants? Like, seriously.
So like mom jeans.
And I love that. Do you guys have Randy River in the States?
I don't think so.
We don't have that in Quebec, so it might just be an
maybe
Ontario
it's not,
thing.
It's a regional thing, but it's a place where you can get everything that Xander's wearing, like the sweater. And like you can just be like, oh my god, look at his Randy River sweater. And every time he has a new sweater, I'm like, Randy River, I say to myself.
I'm writing that down so I can Google it later.
There's this scene in the beginning of the episode where he's wearing this white and green patterned shirt, and uh-huh. I know he's supposed to kind of be like the lame loser outcast character. Mm-hmm. He's not one of the cool jocks or anything, but this guy's shoulders are too broad for him to be a wimp.
Yeah,
you know, like yeah. the casting was a little like, I know they kind of try to portray him as kind of
nerdy.
You know, like the nerdy kind of guy, but guy's got huge shoulders.
Oh, just wait till you see a six pack.
I don't think he's okay. even that nerdy.
Yeah.
Because to me, Willow's more nerdy than he is. He's just kind of there for comic relief, I think, right now.
Does anybody else think that he reminds you of Matthew Perry?
Yeah.
From Friends, a little.
Yeah.
I did think even how he spoke was Chandler-esque.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really like him. So what's his name in real life?
Nicholas Brendon, and this was his first job.
Good for him.
He's a semi-regular on Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's the he's
doesn't
the
he have a twin brother
guy.
In real life?
Do what?
Doesn't he have a twin brother in real life?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, okay. he does.
Does his twin come up in the show?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh my! Hubba hubba.
Spoiler alert.
So what about this analogy to the cork in the bottle? Did anybody else flash to Lost?
Yes. Immediately.
Well, how the hellmouth, you know, it's like putting a cork in a bottle, and you know, if you uncork the bottle, the world would end.
I'm did like, I miss like half the episode? I don't even know what you're talking
about. Giles talking to them in the library, explaining to them what the harvest is.
Oh my god. No. I gotta go back and watch it.
Yeah. And I love Giles' explanation about Buffy's a slayer, don't tell anyone, that's all the information you need.
Yeah, he was embarrassed because she was going to go on and on about how he loves going through the whole once upon every generation there's a slayer who is yeah.
Oh, and about the library, so the library has one computer and no other students are ever in the very elaborate tiny library ever.
Nobody comes to the library.
It's a fancy library for high school.
That is, it's almost like after the big fight at the Bronze, everybody rationalizes it.
Yes.
You know, nobody thinks that, you know, they forget things and they rationalize it, and nobody makes a big deal of this terrible incident that just went on at the Bronze.
No way.
And no one utilizes the library.
Do they ever make notice of Giles being the Folgers guy from the coffee commercials?
No.
Because I was watching, I'm like, where the hell do I know this guy from? And then it was like, oh, right.
Is he in the series of commercials where they've secretly replaced his regular coffee with Folgers crystals?
No, he's in the one with, it was like a love story that went on. And, you know, the continuation. Those
yeah.
How did those
yeah.
end?
Oh, they were so...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, and it's like, will they, won't they? It's like, the guy moved in next door, and then she's like, can I borrow some coffee? And it's like, this whole... They're British, and they brought them over here. Don't you remember?
But British people don't drink coffee.
Don't know.
It's all lies. So in this episode, they kind of formulate a plan. The plan is Buffy's going to go in alone. Xander defies that plan. He's going to go in after Buffy and help her out. Buffy shows up to the mausoleum, has horribly uncomfortable, awkward banter with Angel. Angel doesn't bother helping her out. He just stands there like a, you know, like an idiot watching her go down to her potential death. He's scared. And then there's the, you know, the big scene. They kind of escape. And then we have the big thing at the Bronze. The harvest is going to start. And of course, mm-hmm. it's going to happen at the Bronze. And I wrote down a little note here. With regards to Lucas the Vampire, I wrote, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. Because after the big, huge, we're gonna kill you all, he kills the door guy. And then it's like, let me tell you what's gonna happen to you for like 10 minutes. And he's, I can feel the master is rising. I can feel it. It's happening. Like, dude. You're on the clock.
God.
You know, you have a job to do. How about you actually get it done rather than tell people how awesome you are at the job that you have yet to complete? Giving Buffy and all her friends time to set up. It was just horrible. And it was literally him on stage with a spotlight on him as he's explaining how things are happening. It was great. It was awesome. I just really thought that maybe he could have gotten more done if he just shut up.
Could have ate more. Oh, that's funny.
And then the big battle.
On the pool table.
Yeah.
Awesome. And, you know, Buffy defeated him with her wits. Mm-hmm. Buffy is a very clever... She's very clever.
I really like that. The way she did that was great. And it's so fresh in my mind because, again, you know, I finished watching it 50 minutes ago. But it was the whole... She conned him into thinking that there was going to be sunlight hitting him.
Yeah. Oh, she's so sly.
And then at the end, it was like, it's the sun. It's the sunrise. It's a 9 hour.
9 hours. 9 hours from now.
Yeah. That was great.
But what's so great about that is you see that she is a very smart girl. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. she struggles in school. She doesn't really make great grades. That's something that it's ongoing that she really struggles with school. Not struggles with school, but. She doesn't make great grades, and it's because she has to put her Slayer duties first before being mm-hmm. a student.
Well, I know that I don't want to spoil anybody, but coming up, you can see that she's a very practical learner. Like, she has to have hands-on experience for it to sink into her head. I think there's going to be an insect episode coming up, which made me laugh. And it was like, yeah. Okay, maybe you should cut this part out because I'm going to spoil people, so I'll stop talking. But yeah, she's a practical... I think that we'll see she's going to be a practical learner where she can't learn by reading from a book. She has to see with her own eyes and feel with her own hands, and that's how she retains her information.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where I was going with my point.
Okay. So basically, they stopped the harvest, and the harvest was just the vessel, Luke as the vessel, drinking a lot of blood to help the master get strong so he could come out of the hell mouth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the master's still going to be around, and here's another word I got to teach you guys, the big bad.
Big bad?
The big bad.
The big bad. The master is the big bad of the season.
Oh, okay. Is there a big bad every season?
Yeah, sometimes there are just arcs of big bads, and sometimes mm-hmm. the big bad is the entire season.
Cool.
And sometimes it's very hard to tell who the big bad is. Sometimes it's a surprise.
Hmm.
It's always different.
Interesting.
And that's interesting. Does anybody else have any more revelations?
I think it was interesting that it was mentioned that it's not just vampires. So there are other kinds of mystical bad creatures going.
Yeah, because Giles says that this is that Sunnydale is the center, is the convergence of mystical powers. Yeah, they tell you that vampires are demons, and so a vampire is just another. It's just another type of monster, and there's all kinds of monsters that you see.
So at this point, is anyone already sick of it and doesn't want to continue?
Not yet.
No.
jump ship.
No.
No. I like I said, I watched it more than the first two, and I think I'm suckered in now that I have to watch more.
Ooh.
Did you happen to watch The Pack?
The Pack? What happened in that one?
Is that the one that happens at the zoo?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen that one yet. I think I'm up to episode 6.
The Pack is a very good episode.
The last one I saw was when the really hot guy was into Buffy and wanted no part of Cordelia.
Never kill a boy on the first date.
That's, yes.
I think maybe The Pack is after that or something, but yeah, that's pretty good.
Steph just pulled an Amy. She was able to name the episode of the show from memory.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, I pretty much know all of them.
That's so. Well, I'm honestly excited to watch the rest of the season now.
Well, good.
Yes. I was nervous. I honestly was nervous. I was like about to give up, but
yeah, I was really nervous for you because.
You know, with not liking Buffy and all.
Yeah, especially the next episode coming up when you said that, oh, I expect it to be a lot of girly stuff. And yeah, the next episode is kind of girly.
Uh-huh.
So,
but I'm glad you're doing it. She's likable. She's dislikably likable. Does that make sense? I hate her, but I like watching the show.
Yeah,
she's so annoying, but the language that they use just makes me cringe. It's like, you know, when you've watched Clueless, right?
Uh huh.
Yes.
Like at the time, you're like, oh my god, Cher and the other girls are so cool, and you're watching it. You watch it now, you're like, oh my god, what losers!
It's because that's California speak.
Oh, I guess.
Because I on one of the commentaries again, I heard Joss say. They had it even more California speak, and they in the pilot, and they had to dial it down some.
Wow.
Yeah. It gets better.
Hmm. That's good.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to watching more, because I'd forgotten so much, you know. Because I mentioned I watched the first season, I totally forgot a whole bunch of. I forgot how horrible some of the acting was. So Kim, if that kind of, you know, like consoles you, you'll forget how cringeworthy some of these scenes might be.
Oh god!
Because you'll just think back and like, oh, that was fun, and I really enjoyed that, and oh yeah, there was that one thing where there was that insect thing.
insect one was awesome.
Well, that one's coming up.
Oh, that's right.
And also, okay, after I watched, like, season 2, I was able to go back and watch season 1 and enjoy it more after I'm endeared to the characters more and the show has me hooked. Season 1 is easier to digest.
I wonder if the actual actors go back and watch it and they just are, like, totally embarrassed for what they put out. But it's so much fun. That's the thing. It is fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
So what's next week's episode called?
Witch.
Witch.
Awesome.
Oh.
Do we have any feedback for this episode?
Nope.
No.
Well,
Kelly Joe?
If you would like to send us any feedback, we would more than welcome your feedback. And you can send it to us a bunch of different ways, right? We have an email address, which is
potentialcast@gmail.com.
And we also have a phone number, which we've neglected to mention in the last episode, 27040-BUFFY.
Yes.
Give us a call.
I believe we also have individual email addresses if you want to contact us individually. I am Gabby@potentialcast.com.
And I guess I'm Kim at potentialcast.com?
I think I'll put you as Kimberly. No, Kim. I probably did Kim because some people don't know to spell it with an E or just a Y at the end.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm Illyrio at potentialcast.com.
What am I? Am I Stephanie?
You're either Steph or Stephanie. So, you know, try Stephanie at potentialcast.com, and if it bounces back, try Steph. But you can always get in touch with us. You can always get in touch with us at potentialcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter as well, twitter.com/potentialcast. We are on iTunes. Feel free to leave us a review on iTunes. You can subscribe through us through there, or you can go to potentialcast.com and click on the subscribe with iTunes link. Feel free to leave comments on the actual site as well.
Yeah. Oh, also thanks to Andrew for our graphic again, and thanks to Christopher for our theme song.
Excellent theme song. I like it better than the Buffy theme song.
Agreed. I like it.
We all do.
Agreed.
All right. I have a line to go out on. The Earth is doomed.
Ooh, I've got one. Don't go wild bunch on me.
Don't go wild bunch.
Don't go wild bunch on me. Yes. No one remembered that line.
I didn't remember that line. Who said that line?
That was Buffy. They were underground, and there was some shenanigans going. Wait a minute. Was that when they were underground, Steph, or when they were in front of the club? They were in front of the club before they went in, and the door was unlocked. And the door was locked. And they couldn't figure out how to get in because the doors were locked. And she said, "Don't go wild bunch on me."
Oh yes.
Jeez, Louise.
Sorry.
I can pick another one, and you can edit all that nonsense out.
There's going to be very little editing in this particular episode, because I think it's gold, yeah. Frankly. My line is something Angel said, which I think is quite apropos. He says, "I'll be damned."
I have nothing. I have nothing. What does Luke say? Okay, that'll be my sign off.
Awesome.
And I'm Tim.
Okay, let's go watch Witch.
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 Cool.
Witch.
All right.
Witch.
That witch.
Witch.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.